Well, good morning. I wonder how many of you sitting here this morning, a few days ago, made some New Year's resolutions. And so now that it's January the 4th, the fourth day after the beginning of the year, if you wrote down those resolutions, I wonder if you've broken any of them already. On New Year's Eve, I was sitting at the table and I was watching Global News, and they had a brief segment in which somebody came on and said, I would like to give you some instructions on how you can best keep your New Year's resolutions in 2026. Well, I wonder how you're doing. Sometimes it's much easier to make resolutions than it is to keep them. There are things we want to change, habits that we just want to let go of, lifestyle choices that we want to modify, things that we do that we don't want to do anymore. We want a heart change with respect to some things in the present, and there are some things in the past that we would just like to forget about, and so we make resolutions. This morning, I'd like to talk to you about the condition of your heart. And so for that reason, I've entitled this morning's message, A New Heart for a New Year. In recent times, I've spoken with three different people who have had major heart surgeries requiring either triple or quadruple bypass operations. In each of the instances, those surgeries came as quite a surprise. It was an emergency in nature, either due to either a blocked or a serious hardened artery, or because of the danger of a blood clot. And because of that, they needed surgery because of the possibility of cardiac arrest. Here in Canada, heart disease is the leading cause of death, taking nearly 60,000 people a year. And whether we like to think about it or not, for most of us, our life here on earth will ultimately end as a result of heart failure. Almost 1.1 million cardiovascular procedures are performed in our country every year. In 2024, the last full year, of course, for which we can have statistics, 166 people received a heart transplant. The problem is, however, whether it happened to be Vancouver General or Surrey Memorial or whatever, across the country, there were still 190 people in the country in 2024 as it ended who were waiting for a new heart. And these statistics certainly validate that we have, in a physical sense, a serious heart problem in our country. With a population of 38 million, over 1 million people every year have cardiovascular surgeries. And that's the highest problem that we have of any kind of ailment in the country. There have been many attempted solutions over the years to remedy this problem, including the concept of having a mechanical heart. The first permanent replacement heart was an air-driven device called the Jarvik 7, and it was invented back in 1982. After its invention and release into the marketplace, there were only seven Jarvik 7 heart replacement surgeries that ever took place. Because it was only either a few days, and in a couple of cases, a few months before the patient eventually passed away. There have been many attempts since then. I mean, that was 1982. That's when you think about it, that's 44 years ago. Many attempts to invent an artificial heart to replace the human heart. But so far, there has been no successful invention to be able to do so. And so this morning, I would like us to think not about our physical heart, but to think about the condition of the spiritual heart. The Word of God says in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, the Lord must not look at things people look at, because people look on the outward appearance, but the Lord, he looks upon the heart. And what this is telling me is that God has a very different perspective than we do when we look at another person. It implies that we judge a book by its cover. And don't we do that? But God doesn't do that. We judge by what we can see on the outside. But God is able to see right through us. He looks beyond the outside, way beyond the cover, and looks perceptively to the inside. He is able to see who you really are. He looks at the real you, and he knows what you really are like, not what people look at on the outside. In 1936, the ship, the Queen Mary, was launched, and at the time, it was the largest vessel to cross the oceans. Through four decades, including one world war, the Queen Mary steamed across the ocean until she was finally retired and then anchored as a floating hotel and a museum in Long Beach, California. Maybe you visited it. During the conversion process, the three great massive smoke tanks were taken off her, and they were going to be put on a pier where the intention was that they would be scraped down and then they would be repainted. But when they were placed on the dock, instantly those three smokestacks just crumbled. There was nothing left of the 3/4-inch metal plates, 2 centimeters thick, from which those smokestacks had been formed. All that remained as they were taken off and they were laid down, all that held those smokestacks together as people looked at them was, you know what? 30 coats of paint that they had had and had been applied over the years of service. But inside, the steel had slowly rusted away. The outward appearance was substantial. In fact, there was no consideration that anybody needed to look on the inside. Everything looked just fine. But what happened was there was nothing there. And that's how it is with all of us. We are consumed with the exterior appearance. We're concerned about how our appearance looks, especially when we want to go out. We want to look good. Robert Redford, the famous actor, understood the implication of that. He was walking through a hotel one day, and a woman saw him, and she followed him into the elevator. When those elevators closed, she turned to Mr. Redford, and she said, "Are you the real Robert Redford?" And he turned around, and he said, "Well, only when I'm alone." And what he was saying was, what you see on the outside is how I want people to see how I am. But it's when I am isolated and alone, that's how I really am. And if you think about it, you will come to understand quite clearly what we have read in the Word of God, that the Lord doesn't look at the things that man looks at, because man looks upon the outward appearance, but it is God who is able to look right through that, and he can see the real you. And that's serious stuff, because it helps us all to realize that we have a troubling heart condition. Our spiritual heart is in need of heart surgery. And the Bible is very clear. We all need a new heart. And that's why I've entitled this morning's message, "A New Heart for a New Year." Because we know that as God has examined our hearts, he sees that we are diseased and we are afflicted with sin and badly in need of repair and renewal. And so there are four things that I would like to suggest to you this morning that you need if you're going to have a new heart in this new year, 2026. First of all, I need to have a forgiven heart. You see, the Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9 that the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart, and I examine the mind, and I reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. Somerset Maugham, the famed British playwright, said one time, "If I were to write down on a piece of paper all the thoughts and all the intents of my heart, people would think of me as a monster of depravity." This morning, I had hoped to give you an outline. They were all sitting there, and I walked out, got into the car, and left them behind. I talked to Brother Ken here, and he said, "Well, if you could send them to me on a PowerPoint, I'll be able to put them up on the screen for you." And I'm sorry, I don't have that to give you. I couldn't get into it on my phone. I didn't have the password. But let's just think for a moment. If we were to put on this screen and Ken had a PowerPoint that he could put up there and you gave him a list of all the thoughts and intents of your mind and your heart over the years, I know if it were me, you would say, "Good grief, How could they ever have somebody like that come and speak in a church? He is a monster of depravity. And that's true, except for what Jesus has done for me. Jesus said in Matthew 15:19, it is out of the heart that the evil thoughts come. Murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. It's all from the heart. Mark Twain said, we're all like the moon. We all have a dark side that we don't want anyone to see. And it takes me back to Jeremiah 17:10 that I read just a few moments ago. I, the Lord, he says, God Almighty, I search the heart and I examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. When I think about the consequence of this, that God will give all people the due rewards according to what their actions deserve, I understand why the first step in having a new heart in this new year is to have a forgiven heart. King David of old was well aware of his need for help and forgiveness. He knew that there was only one person who could come to his aid and who could help him, and that was God. But he had to first humble himself and acknowledge his critical need to receive God's forgiveness and God's restoration. You may recall that David was maybe the author of being a peeping Tom. He was a peeping David. He was up in the balcony, and as he looked over the balcony down below, there he saw a beautiful young woman naked, presumably bathing herself. And as he looked down from his upper chamber, he was overcome with lust. And then he got his servants to go down and bring her to him in his bedroom, and together they committed adultery. Afterwards, after discovering that Bathsheba had become pregnant as a result of this tryst while her husband was away at war, King David ordered that her husband be set up to be killed in the battle. But later, the deep horror of his guilty conscience and the result of that adulterous and murderous action, he was burdened down and felt like he couldn't live again. And King David in Psalm 51 verse 10, he cries out to God and he says, God, create in me a clean and a pure heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me. And that should be our prayer. We need a forgiven heart, the prayer of confession that acknowledges that we need to be forgiven and we need to receive God's forgiveness. Jeremiah said that the heart was hopeless and it was incurable. So what treatment is available? Well, we need a spiritual heart transplant. And even in David's time, he realized that suffering from cardiac arrest of sin, he could go to God's care unit, and there his spiritually diseased heart could be made whole and made new. King David was well aware of his desperate need. And the word that David used when he said, God, create in me a clean heart, is the Hebrew word bara. And bara is the same word that is used in Genesis 1:1, where it says, in the beginning, God created, God bara, the heavens and the earth. And it's an interesting word because it literally means to take nothing and make something out of nothing. And so God can take the blackness and the chaos and turn it into a wonderful universe. He can take the blackness and the hardness of a sin-stained heart and turn it into a wonderful new creation. It says any person who is in Christ, old things are passed away, all things become new. And you know something? God can do that for you. For God and only him, the loving Heavenly Father, can do the miraculous. Not man and his wisdom, not by any human power. It is only God who can take the heart that is diseased and wrecked by sin and transform it into something new, a new life, a new experience, a fresh start. And that's what happens. That's what happens when we are forgiven by him. And it begins with a willingness on your part to confess that you're in need of divine heart surgery. It is a confession of your sin, a confession of your need, and a confession of your faith in the finished work of Jesus upon the cross when he gave his life and took the punishment for your sin there so that you could be free. Here's how it is explained in Romans 10 in verse 9. It says that if you will declare with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, then you will be saved. For it is with the heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. And that is the first step in receiving a new heart for a new year. It is to have a forgiving heart. I was interested when the announcements were given by Brother Jonathan a few moments ago. He referred to somebody who was baptized a couple of weeks ago or 4 weeks ago. You know, the wonderful thing about baptism, if you're a Christian and you haven't been baptized, you should be baptized because it is a public confession. It's letting your friends and your relatives and those in your neighborhood, people in your workplace, to invite them to come, because you are publicly saying, Jesus has changed my life and I want to publicly announce that I am following him. And so the first step in having a new heart in the new year is to have a forgiven heart. Secondly, we need to have an obedient heart. And why is that important? Because if we are going to enjoy the wonder of an intimate relationship with God in 2026, then you must have an obedient heart. And a new heart is obedient. A family who lived on a small acreage had some guests for dinner one Saturday afternoon. It was just a blistering hot summer's day. And they were brought into the kitchen, into the dining area. And as they sat down, the mother, who was the hostess, turned to their four-year-old son, Johnny, and said, Johnny, why don't you give thanks for the food? And Johnny looked at his mother and he said, but Mom, I don't know what to say. Oh, his mother said, just you say what you hear me say. And so he obediently bowed his head, and then he mumbled, oh, Lord, why on earth did I invite these people over for dinner on such a hot day as this? Well, at least he was obedient. And it says in Deuteronomy 6:5 that we are to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And when you love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, then you want to obey him. Why? Because you love him. And what parent doesn't swell up with pride when they see their child being obedient and do something that they want them to do without even being asked? The psalmist knew all about that, and he knew that he needed God's help to be obedient. And so in Psalm 86:11, he said, teach me your way, O Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness, and give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. Now notice something important in the psalmist's prayer. He said that those who are obedient need to have an undivided heart. What does it mean to have a divided heart? It means that you've got divided loyalties. You're not just loyal to one person or one thing, but somehow it's fragmented and you can't please both sides. I remember being in Beijing one time and I was asked if I would be willing to go and talk with a couple who had a problem. And I said, well, okay. And so I met this couple in a restaurant, and it was all arranged by a house church leader. And I said, so what is the problem? They went, they used the English names, Isaac and Kate. And so Kate was the one who was telling me all about the problem. Isaac was quite solemn and quiet. The problem was that they had a child about 9 months earlier, and Isaac's mother, who lived about 600 kilometers away, had come to the home when Kate had given birth because she wanted to see the grandchild and be with the grandchild. The problem was that the child's grandmother, Isaac's mother, never left. And what happened was Isaac was an engineer. He would leave for work about 6:30 in the morning, wouldn't get home until just after 7 o'clock at night. And as soon as he walked in the door of the apartment, his mother wanted his attention. And so Isaac would sit down and visit with his mother. She wasn't exaggerating, anything from a minimum of 30 minutes, but often lasting into an hour. She had prepared for her husband coming home. She had prepared dinner and a meal and everything was ready. But no, Isaac had to sit down and visit with his mother for all of that time. You can imagine that Kate was getting pretty angry about that. So how do you counsel them? What do you say? I said to them, you know, Isaac, think about this for a moment. You live in about the, the 17th level of a high-rise apartment building. And let's just suppose that one day Kate is coming back from doing some shopping and she's got your son with her. And she gets into the elevator, and there's a man that walks in at the same time, and he lives somewhere up in one of those higher levels, and said, what's wrong? You don't look so happy today. And she just pours out her heart about this problem. He sees her again, says, well, how's it going? She pours out her heart again. Before long, she kind of feels a closeness to this man because he's sympathetic to what she's going through. I said, I know that Kate would never entertain the idea of having an affair, but something like that could occur. I said, what you need to do, and for those that are Chinese here this morning, you will understand the challenge that it was to Isaac. I said, what you need to do is go home and you need to tell your mother that the day after tomorrow, you're going to take her to the bus station or the train station, and she needs to go back to her hometown. It's not that she can't see her grandson again, but she can only come in the future when invited, and she can only stay, let's say, for a maximum of 5 days at a time. You could see a Chinese man with not a pale face like mine. It suddenly went white. I could just tell, oh my, that was about the worst thing he would have to face. That was cultural suicide. But he did it. He did it. And harmony invaded the home again. Why? Because the divided heart, the division in the home had been removed and taken away. And we can't have a divided heart. We need to have an obedient life if we're going to follow Jesus. And we can do that by living according to his word. The Bible says in Proverbs 3 that we are to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts and not to lean on our own understanding. Don't try to figure out all of these things on yourself, but in all your ways, submit to him. And what's God's promise? He says, look, I will direct your paths. And that's choosing to be obedient. When we reject God's understanding, trusting only in our own, then we're living with a divided heart, and we can develop a hard heart, which we must avoid. We have to avoid the deceitfulness of sin. There was a man who was a faithful preacher and church pastor in Britain way back in the 18th century. But somewhere along the way, his heart kind of drifted, and he left the ministry and decided he was going to go over to France. He would live there. He thought life just seemed much more attractive. The pressures of all that he was doing in ministry would be left behind. But unfortunately, he fell into sin. One night, he was traveling in a carriage to wherever he was living, and there was a Parisian socialite in the same carriage going in the direction. I don't know what the carriage was like. Maybe it was like getting the local bus or the sky train. That's how it was way back in the 18th century in Paris. And the woman looked at him. She had recently given her life to Jesus, and her life had been changed. And she was reading something, and she turned to this man, and she said, I want to ask you a question. His name was Robert Robertson. She said, I'm reading this and I would like to know what your opinion is about what I've been reading. And so she said, here's what I've been reading. It's a piece of poetry. And it says, come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never failing, call for hymns of loudest praise. And then she looked up at this man, Robert Robertson, and tears were just streaming down his face. He said, I composed that some years ago. He said, I was following Jesus and I was serving the Lord, but he said, I've fallen away and I don't know if I can find my way back. And she said, I know you can, because Jesus has just changed my life. All you need to do is turn your heart back to him. And that's what he did, because he couldn't live with a divided heart. So first of all, we need to have a forgiven heart. Secondly, we need to have an obedient heart. Thirdly, we need to have a forgiving heart. And I don't know much or anything about the circumstances of your life, but this I do know, that all of us at some time or other in our lives get severely hurt. We get maligned, or our hearts are broken by another person, and we just suffer through it. And we wonder, how can we go on? Proverbs 18:14 says, the human spirit can endure all sickness, but a crushed spirit, who can bear? And what he's saying is, we can endure almost any kind of illness, any kind of physical impairment, but if your heart has severely bruised and shattered, how can you go on? But God understands that. He says in Psalm 34:18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. And think about that for a moment. God is close to the brokenhearted. He's not distant. He's not far away. He's not lost in the horizon. He is close. He is near. And he will rescue those whose spirits are crushed. When I was thinking about this morning, when I was driving in the car over here, and I was thinking about that, who God sees and God knows. And you think, my, no, he's not distant. He's not off on the horizon. I thought, next week at this time, I'm going to be in England. And I'm going over there for an evangelism conference. And I thought, Diane is going to be here several thousand kilometers away, but I'm going to be close because I will see her. You know why? 3 days ago, I installed 3 security cameras inside our house, and I can be anywhere and just look on my phone. I know what she's doing. And that's a bit like God. It's not a security camera. It's a love camera that he has. And he looks down upon you and he knows where you are. And so in spite of the hurt and all of the pain and all of the despair and tears that you may go through, the depth that you felt, the crushing weight of anguish upon your heart, God, you have to remember what God has done for you. And he in turn says we should do the same for others. Colossians 3:13, we are to bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you have a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. And you say to me this morning, well, you don't know what I've gone through. How on earth is that possible? But if you have a new heart, because you have been forgiven by God and you want to be obedient to God, then he can give you the ability with that new heart to forgive others. And when that heart transplant, that spiritual regeneration has taken place within you, and you've received a new heart and a new life in Christ, whatever you thought was impossible is possible. Because we know that Christ has forgiven us, we then have the capacity to forgive others. And that's something you may previously have thought unimaginable. I know a woman who is a lawyer. Her name is Lee. And when she was about 45, her life was transformed by Jesus. She had a new heart. She became a new creature in Christ. The old was passed away and everything became new. And as soon as she became a Christian and was forgiven by Jesus, she knew that she had to forgive someone else that had hurt her badly. Lee was the third child in a family. When her mother became pregnant, her mother didn't want a third child. She waited for quite a number of weeks and eventually went along to a clinic and she wanted to have an abortion performed. And they refused. She went to another clinic and they refused. So she went to another city to see if it would be done there, and they refused. And so she had to give birth to this child. From the moment that that child was born, she despised that child. She resented that that child was in the home, and the child knew it. As soon as she turned 18, Lee left the home and traveled to a university for her education, the furthest distance away that she could find from her home city at the age of 18. And here she comes to know Jesus at the age of 45. 28 years have gone by. She had never spoken. 28. Who's doing the calculation here? 25. No, 27 years had gone by. And Ken's the one that could calculate it there. 27 years had gone by, had never talked to her mother, never called on the phone, never sent a card, wanted nothing to do with her. But Jesus had changed her life. And the word of God that we just read says, we must forgive others as we have been forgiven by him. And she just knew that she had to get on the phone and talk with her mother, and she did. She called her mother on the phone. Mother answered the phone. She didn't know who it was. She said, it's Lee. It's your daughter. I'm calling to tell you, Mom, that I love you. That I love you, and I forgive you. I know that you didn't want me. You didn't want me around you at any time, and you made that very clear. And I have to tell you, all these years, when I left home as an 18-year-old to go to college, I hated you, and I wanted to have nothing to do with you. But she said, my life has been changed. I have come to know Jesus. He is my Savior. He has forgiven me for that hatred and all I've done, and I forgive you. Her mother had no idea, no clue what she was talking about. And this is quite a few years ago, where you had to pay for long distance calls. And over a 3-month period, Lee called her mother every day. And at about the 3-month period, her mother opened her heart to Jesus, and her life was transformed. And that's what Jesus says. You know, if we're going to have a new heart for the new year, first of all, we have to be forgiven. Secondly, I have to be obedient. Thirdly, I need to have a forgiving heart. And lastly, we need to have a compassionate heart. Colossians 3:12 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, with kindness, with humility, with gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against anyone, forgive them as the Lord forgave you. You see, a changed heart and a new heart has a different attitude and different action towards others. We become the person that we never thought we ever could be. And even though we may well have wished that we could be like you can become, Jesus can do it. I received the following email from a girl that I know in China whose name is Sun Ling. She lives in the city of Guangzhou, and English obviously isn't her first language, so excuse the grammar. Here is what she wrote. She said, Peter, how are you these days? I had a very lonely Christmas because the family meeting are forbidden in China. What she was talking about was the church meeting, a time when members and God's family came together. And this is how they describe the coming together as Christians, a family gathering. And when Jonathan was giving the announcements about it all, didn't you get the sense of a family, a familial union between those in the fellowship of this church? We need to value each other. We need to treasure each other. And so that's how it should be. And she is saying that during the Christmas season and Christmas, those meetings were forbidden in the city in China in which she lived. She goes on to write, we had a very dangerous night. The police were observing us outside the building. We needed to hide our Bibles sometimes. She was looking for work and to help herself through school. And she had applied for a job which she thought was to be a model. And this is what she continues to write. She said, the job for a model was a trick. I have poor social experiences, and my mobile phone has been stolen on bus. It is very common that robbing and stealing take place frequently because people employed in the workplace don't have enough money and they will take any action. It is a social problem. I feel that I will be alone for a long time. I just can't get along with boys. Would you point out my mistakes in my letter? If you have time, can you give me some changes? God be with you, Sun Ling. When I read that, my heart just ached for her because I have compassion for her. And we are instructed this morning that if we are going to live with a new heart in the new year, then as God's chosen people, we need to go into the closet. And this is how we are to clothe ourselves. He made it quite clear. We are to clothe ourselves with compassion. Maybe that's the underwear. With kindness, that's a scarf. With humility and gentleness, that's a jacket. With patience, that's a skirt or some slacks. Bear with each other and forgive one another. And if any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. That's a new heart. And so this morning as we conclude, I want us to consider the prayer in the 139th Psalm. And this should be our prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts and see if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. And if we think about that, we know we need a changed heart. And so how can you have that spiritual cardiac surgery this morning? First of all, you need to have a forgiven heart by coming to Jesus and saying, I know I need you. I know I need you to forgive me because I have done so many things that I know have offended you, but they have hurt others as well. Secondly, I want to have an obedient heart. As I've heard this morning in your word, you said one of the prayers is, teach me your ways. I want you to teach me your ways. Thirdly, I want to have a forgiving heart. Just like that lawyer, Lee, who was willing to forgive her mother 27 years later, and her mother came to know Jesus. And lastly, we need to have a compassionate heart. And God has a promise for you. If you will come and have your heart transformed and changed, he says, Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And that's not impossible. That's God's promise to you. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, you have been present here this morning as we have listened together to some instruction from your word. Some of these things, Lord, we haven't really thought seriously about before. And some of those things, as you have confronted us from your word and through the way that your word has been illustrated, has convicted us. It's convicted me. And I want my heart changed. I want to have that new heart, that spiritually transformed heart inside that pleases you, that in the end is compassionate and loving and forgiving towards others, that lives in a way that you would be able to say to me, I am pleased with you, my child. So please help me, I pray, through Jesus who gave his life for me. Amen. And if God has spoken to you this morning and you say, that's what I want and that's what I need, but you didn't fully understand what really all I was talking about and you have questions in your mind, you could speak to Jonathan who gave the announcement. You could speak to Ken down the front there. You could speak to me. You could speak to anybody who was in the music team. We would consider it a privilege to introduce you to Jesus. And may God bless you and give you the courage to embrace these principles and live this year with a new transformed heart. Amen.